I'm Ashley Legasic.
And I'm Catherine DeClercq.
And we make up CTV's newest podcast, Life Unmasked.
We'll bring you everything you need to know about exactly how we're going to return to normal life post-pandemic.
New episodes come out every Thursday morning on iHeartRadio, and they're available on all streaming platforms later in the day.
We hope you'll tune in.
I do want us all to remain calm, remain science-driven, evidence-informed, and follow the epidemiology of this virus.
It is a message of caution and confidence in the province's plan for whatever comes next. The arrival of Omicron in Ontario with confirmed cases of the new variant. Good evening. No new public health measures are being added at this point.
But the discoveries are prompting one big change. The pace in getting booster shots of the current vaccines to people across the province. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
Well, we have two cases of Omicron variant here in Ontario, Michelle. Those two are confirmed. They arrived in Montreal before making their way to Ottawa. The chief medical officer of health suggested today they were almost found by accident. They were part of a random sample of passengers who were tested for the variant in Montreal, which is why Dr. Kieran Moore believes additional cases will be found, and it's just a matter of time. With two cases of the Omicron variant now in Ontario, the province is on the hunt for more.
Four other individuals that were waiting for whole genome sequencing results back. Two are in Ottawa, two in the Hamilton area.
The two known individuals with Omicron touched down in Montreal from Nigeria. They were tested in Quebec before arriving in Ottawa and are now in isolation. Ontario's chief medical officer of health says the province is now tracking down 375 passengers who have traveled from one of the seven countries of origin.
We are investigating other cases, so I would not be surprised if we find more in Ontario because we've got a very robust surveillance system.
Now that the virus is here, the question is, how is the province going to respond? The health minister says Ontario is stepping up surveillance, testing all eligible samples for Omicron, and calling on the federal government to test all passengers arriving in Canada.
Well, we are asking for people who are coming into Ontario to be tested because we know that these things can travel, and so we want to be as proactive as we can.
Next, the province says it's looking at speeding up delivery of third doses.
And we're also looking at other age groups for the booster, the third dose booster, because we want to have that extra layer of protection available for people as well.
But critics say the government has been caught off guard with previous strains before and point out that even without Omicron, the number of new cases has been steadily rising.
I'm more concerned about rising case counts right now than the new variant, right? Because we can see it going, and maybe the new variant's part of that, but we don't know.
Already, a few public health units are reimposing capacity limits on a variety of businesses in order to stop the growth of the Delta variant. But the chief medical officer of health says the world has a lot to learn about the new variant, and until then, Ontario is sticking with the plan.
I don't foresee us having to take any steps back at present. We will, though, need to completely understand if it's more virulent, if it's increases the risk for hospitalization. If it's a less lethal virus, less impact on the hospital sector, and our vaccines can continue to work against it, we will continue our current strategy and not have to have any further public health restrictions.
And only province-wide spread of Omicron, Dr. Moore says, would trigger province-wide public health measures.
And we have breaking news coming out of Ottawa tonight. Ottawa Public Health is confirming two additional cases of the Omicron variant have now been detected. They released a statement just moments ago saying yesterday the government of Ontario announced two individuals in Ottawa tested positive for the COVID-19 Omicron variant with recent travel to Nigeria. The statement from Ottawa Public Health goes on to say, we are now aware of two others who returned from Nigeria who've also tested positive for the Omicron
Omicron variant. So that means four in Ottawa now have tested positive for the Omicron variant. Ottawa Public Health says all four are in isolation. We don't know if this is part of the two who were under suspicion of having the Omicron variant or two additional ones, but be sure we will hear more of this in the hours and days ahead. Reporting live at Queen's Park, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
Thank you, Colin. Meanwhile, in terms of eligible people 12 and over, more than 89.7% have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, and more than 86.3% are considered fully vaccinated. That represents more than 11.2 million people in Ontario.
The WHO says the Omicron variant has a high likelihood of spreading around the world.
We now know it's here in Ontario and at least one other Canadian province. CTV's Glenn McGregor reports.
Today, Quebec confirmed its first Omicron case.
We have been informed that 115 travelers from countries affected by the new variant have been called to do a new PCR test and isolate themselves.
Canada has barred travelers from seven countries in southern Africa. More than 300 people who arrived in recent weeks are now quarantined. To stem the spread, Israel is closing its borders to foreigners entirely. There are no known cases yet in the U.S., and the president says no new restrictions are required.
I expect this not to be the new normal. I expect the new normal to be everyone ends up getting vaccinated in the booster shot, so we reduce the number of people who aren't protected.
But it will take about 2 weeks to determine if the variant is more transmissible, more deadly, and crucially, whether it can evade immunity from vaccination. For now, Canada isn't tightening the border further.
It is not over. And the single most important tool in our toolbox is vaccination.
Experts say border measures will, at best, buy more time to assess the threat.
These travel bans on particular countries in southern Africa are not going to be sufficient or are not going to be really what stems the flow of the Omicron variant across our country. The reality is it's already here.
Vaccine maker Moderna says it could reformulate its shots to block against the new variant and could have an updated version in production early next year. Glenn McGregor, CTV News, Ottawa.
Meanwhile, those travel restrictions are leaving many people, including Canadians, stranded in the affected regions.
Looking for a way back to this country, navigating a patchwork of possible paths. CTV's Raheem Ladani joins us in studio with more. And Raheem, this includes a team of young field hockey players.
Yeah, that's right, Michelle and Zoraida. The team has been training in a city about 130 kilometers from Johannesburg. But with the Omicron variant leading several countries to restrict travel, the team, along with many other Canadians, are now struggling to get back into Canada.
This is Canada's women junior field hockey team after arriving in South Africa last week, ready to compete in the Women's Junior World Cup. But with the new Omicron COVID-19 variant, the tournament is off and the team is stranded.
We're all vaccinated, and so we feel very safe in this bubble environment. But we did keep our eye on the news, and when it was announced that our tournament was going to be postponed, we realized that our first priority would be getting home at this point in time.
With no direct flights from the region into Canada, the team is exploring entering through airports in Europe and the U.S. But many airlines have already canceled their flights after countries including Canada enforced border closures. Field Hockey Canada says parents are aware of the situation and everyone is working together to bring our team home.
We've mostly just been at the pitch and at our accommodation, so not too sure what is happening in the real world.
Adding to the challenges, the Canadian government is mandating those returning get a PCR test in the country they're connecting through, leaving many citizens and permanent residents scrambling.
We can't get on the next flight because the PCR tests don't come back for 6 or 8 hours. So we may have to spend the night in the airport to try and get a flight out the next day.
Meanwhile, travelers from the UK and US are also in limbo.
We're here now trying to hope that we can get on their standby.
It was a short holiday and then it turned out to be a nightmare.
South African officials are criticizing the travel restrictions, saying it is being unfairly treated for first discovering the Omicron variant.
Any sane person is questioning the irrational and illogical harsh move that has been taken.
A move that has left many travelers struggling to get home.
And the South African High Commissioner says a meeting has been requested with Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly, although Canada's Transport Minister has said the new measures will be in place until at least the end of January 2022. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Raheem. Public Health Ontario is reporting 788 new COVID-19 cases in its most recent update, down from 964 on Sunday. Of today's new cases, 473 are among people who either aren't fully vaccinated or their vaccination status is unknown. More than 26,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours, and the province's positivity rate is now sitting at 3.5%.
453 more cases are considered resolved, with that total approaching 601,000 over the course of the pandemic. Three additional deaths are linked to the virus, meaning 9,997 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Tonight's regional breakdown includes 106 new cases in the city of Toronto, 49 in Peel Region. York logged 48 new cases, with 30 in Durham. There are 21 new cases in Halton Region, 20 in Hamilton, and 15 in Niagara.
Straight ahead, the decriminalization debate. Why Toronto's top doctor says possession of small amounts of illicit drugs should be allowed. The reason some argue it could save lives, and who has the final say.
Next to a story that may have you thinking twice about your child's use of social media. This man facing nearly 140 charges.
What he's accused of is doing is disturbing, and how he is alleged to have carried it out also unsettling. CTV's Janice Golding is live with more. Janice.
Hi, Zarada. Police say last week somebody came forward with certain allegations, and as a result, they conducted a search warrant at a home here in the Lawrence and Midland Avenue area of Scarborough and arrested a 35-year-old man. Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, social media apps many of our children use on a daily basis. And it's through platforms like these that sex crimes officers say a Toronto man was involved in online child luring.
We're talking about a significant amount of evidence that officers have, confiscated cell phones, computers, hard drives, videos.
Toronto police allege the suspect lured young children into sending him sexually explicit photos and videos on social media platforms using fake online names similar to popular social media personalities.
It's not a good feeling.
It's really terrible. It's dangerous for the kids.
The combination of effort from both parents and, the government or the authorities for that matter, to prevent something like this from happening.
On Thursday, November 25th, 35-year-old Jose Paulo Cayotan was arrested and charged with a total of 138 offenses, including multiple counts of luring a child, invitation to sexual touching, make, possess, and access child pornography, make sexually explicit material available to a child, and fail to comply with a Section 161 Criminal Code prohibition order regarding children.
I won't comment on any charges that are currently before the court, but any kind of a fail to abide by a court order indicates that a person has already been charged and is not abiding by their conditions.
Meanwhile, the director of CyberTip.ca, the national tip line for reporting online sexual exploitation of children, says while he can't speak to the specific case, online abuse can be very detrimental to a child's development.
You know, there are certain things that happen during an interaction like this, like the normalization of sexual activity, certainly exposure to sexually explicit content, and then the ongoing threats or extortion that might happen as a result of this.
Police say their investigation is ongoing and say they are concerned there could be more alleged victims. Police say when they go through investigations like these, part of the difficulty is in identifying the victims depicted in the photos and the videos that they've recovered. In this specific case, investigators allege they've recovered a significant amount of evidence. Reporting live, I'm Janice Golding. Now back to Michelle.
Thank you, Janice. Coming up, could finding parking become even harder in Toronto? Questioning the minimum requirements in new condos. If you drive or at least own a spot, you'll want to pay attention to this. But for right now, fun activity or straight up headache. However you see it, the snow is here and the cold right along with it. Michelle Jobin has a look at the current conditions. Any more flurries out there tonight?
Well, yes, Michelle, we do have flurries throughout the GTA that we could see the risk of for the next couple of hours or so, and then we'll get some clearing. But there is more snow on the way throughout the region as we get into the morning hours. Now, if you're in southwestern Ontario, this is starting up probably after 9 or 10 o'clock, but here in the GTA in the early morning. So there's the flurries that we have right now. And winds are relatively light. The good news is, even though we've been a bit below seasonal today, reaching a high of just zero, there hasn't been too much of a wind chill as we got into the afternoon. It was certainly a little little bit more so this morning. So right around the region right now, this is how we're doing. -3 in the Carruthers, -1 in Cobourg, -1 in Cambridge, -2 in Hamilton. Feeling a little bit cooler than that with the wind chill. It's 0 degrees at the islands and 0 at Pearson. Overnight tonight, a low of -2, feeling like -5. I'll let you know what else you could expect, especially with this snow coming in the morning. Coming up, back to you, Michelle.
Thank you. Turning next to the investigation into a fatal workplace accident that's having a big impact on plenty of GTA commuters.
A contractor killed when a freight car full of gravel tipped over in Pickering over the weekend. CTV's Austin Delaney is live at Guildwood Station with more. Austin.
Well, the Ministry of Labor says it needs some time to investigate this accident, a fatal accident over the weekend. That caught morning commuters by surprise. They didn't know they'd be shuttling between stations, and that got them late for work.
They hustled on and off the shuttle buses, trying to make up lost time.
How's your commute been so far?
Been terrible.
As one bus left, another arrived, but not soon enough.
It's taking so much time.
Moving passengers between stations to get back on the trains.
Got the bus, waited there for about 20 minutes on the bus. We got here and now I'm waiting for the train.
How is this going to affect your day? How late for work are you?
Right now I'm about 45 minutes late. By the time I get there, I'll probably be an hour.
The commuter trains could not pass this. Just east of the Rouge Hill GO station, the engine and gravel hauler tipped on their sides, blocking rail traffic on the Lakeshore East line. The Ministry of Labor is investigating a fatal accident on the track Saturday evening. A contract worker pinned under the gravel freight car that had derailed and fallen over, forcing shuttle service between stations today and likely until Thursday.
We know that that's not going to be the most convenient option for customers, but it's the best that we can do to really support the Ministry of Labor and ensure that we can fully investigate this situation to ensure that we know exactly what happened and that it'll never happen again.
GO is running trains between Union and Guildwood and between Pickering and Oshawa stations, and shuttle buses between the block stations.
I was able to catch the bus at the Rouge Hill station, and we made it here, but just as we were off-boarding the bus, the train left. Oh. So now we have to wait half an hour for the next train.
Metrolink says it'll have to do some significant track repair before the lines open again.
And Metrolink says the delay should be about 30 minutes. Commuters told us, though, it's a bit more than that. By the time you get off the train, wait for a shuttle, get off the shuttle, and then wait for another train, so adjust your ride in tomorrow accordingly. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
Thank you, Austin. Toronto police are warning about a suspicious drug following two deaths over the weekend. Officers responded to an overdose call at a house party in Deer Park yesterday. Police say the deaths of two men, 53 and 33, are associated with a drug being sold in baggies like this one.
At this time, it has been taken for testing, and we do want to urge the public that if they do have a baggie with the basketballs on it with that suspicious drug, to refrain from using that.
Investigators believe the drug is currently being sold or given away. Anyone with information is asked to contact police. Meanwhile, Toronto's Medical Officer of Health is recommending the possession of small amounts of illegal drugs be decriminalized within the city.
It's a reaction to a surge in deaths from a toxic drug supply in the pandemic. CTV's Sean Woodward is live with more on this. John.
Recent statistics show at least one person every day on average dies as a result of the toxic drug supply, a sad reality that's prompting the city to contemplate action.
These are all names over the last five-ish years of people who have died.
Emmett O'Reilly sees so many names of drug users at this memorial at the South Riverdale Community Health Center. Many struck down by a toxic drug supply that is as unpredictable as it is lethal.
At first, it's shocking and saddening, and after a while, it becomes angering, and then it becomes numbing. And you start to lose track of the people that you've lost.
We see an accelerating crisis.
That's Toronto's medical health officer saying it's time the city changed course on the way it deals with drugs.
We have seen that the drug supply over time, not just here in the city, but we've heard of these incidents all over the world, has become increasingly toxic.
A toxic drug supply that's reflected in emergency calls. The city says paramedics responded to 5,776 opioid overdose calls over the past year. In 351 of those calls, at least one person died. And the pandemic is making things worse, with those overdose calls surging 61% compared to the previous year.
So, yes, absolutely. We know that the criminalization of drug use is leading to more harm.
The proposal before City Council is to apply for an exemption to the Federal Controlled Drugs and Substances Act. That would allow possession for personal use, just as the City of Vancouver applied to do in May and the province of British Columbia did on November 1st.
I'm certainly open to considering the kinds of changes that have been put forward in this case with the support of the Medical Officer of Health and the Police Chief, but they've made it very clear, and I agree, that we have to precede that by making sure there's a very robust system of treatment and support.
It would still be illegal to sell illicit drugs. The city says decriminalization alone is not enough, recommending higher levels of government improve access to safer supply, harm reduction, and treatment.
The nurse practitioner O'Reilly says this could be a significant step forward, but as for how long it's going to take, that's a very different question. The city of Vancouver applied more than 6 months ago, and it's still waiting. Reporting live from Queen Street East, I'm John Woodward. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, John. In New York, Ghislaine Maxwell's sex abuse trial got underway today after the jury was sworn in. The 59-year-old former socialite is accused of recruiting and grooming underage girls for the late financier Jeffrey Epstein. Maxwell has pleaded not guilty to 8 charges of sex trafficking and other crimes. She faces up to 80 years in prison if convicted on all counts. The trial is expected to last 6 weeks.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Supreme Court is being asked to review a ruling that overturned Bill Cosby's conviction. Prosecutors have filed a petition saying courts should not equate a supposed promise made by a former prosecutor to lifetime immunity. In 2018, Pennsylvania's High Court said that Cosby relied on a promise that he would never be charged when he gave damaging testimony that was later used against him. The 85-year-old was found guilty of drugging and molesting Toronto woman Andrea Constan in 2004. He spent nearly 3 years in prison before being set free in June.
British Columbia is extending its state of emergency until December 14th. That's to ensure emergency services have the resources they need. More flood warnings and watches have been posted as the province prepares for a third rainstorm. BC is already grappling with a major drenching over the weekend. More than 100 millimeters of rain fell in the city of Abbotsford alone. The second storm had subsided in many areas by early today, with many rivers receding. But Environment Canada says another 100 millimeters could fall once the third storm arrives tonight.
They're a tiny piece of real estate, but they can be pricey. Parking spots in condo buildings can sell for 6 figures.
And that's just one of the reasons why a proposal to remove requirements in new developments is getting plenty of attention. CTV's Beth McDonnell reports.
It can be an expensive piece of real estate in Toronto, an underground parking space at your condo, some selling upwards of $100,000. The city hasn't verified the data, but says the Building Industry and Land Development Association showed about one-third of parking spots didn't sell.
There's already a trend in the industry that the amount of parking necessitated by the bylaw is kind of out of touch and actually asking for more parking to be built than what the market is asking for.
City staff are recommending council do away with requiring new builds to have a minimum number of spaces. Arguments in favor, the requirements lead to an overbuilding of parking. Without them, it will help propel the city into the future by reducing the costly construction of underground parking, which will allow more affordable housing to be built faster. And by making it more difficult to park, people will be encouraged to take transit, rideshare, or bike and reduce traffic congestion and emissions.
And the further down you go in order to build underground for parking, the more expensive it gets.
This urban planning expert says the market will sort out cost. But some aren't convinced the savings will be passed on to buyers.
I'm concerned that developers will say, well, that's great, they don't have to buy that, and be selling units at exactly the same cost.
Fostra works with dozens of residents groups south of Bloor. It believes about 30% of vacant spaces are in the core, but then points to Liberty Village, where parking is very tight.
There needs to be a lot more evidence-based research done to make sure that it's a planned approach that fits the community's needs. instead of a one-size-fits-all solution.
Foster adds, without looking closely at minimum requirements, more vehicles may be pushed to park on city streets. City Council considers the change December 15th. Beth McDonnell, CTV News.
Well, this is week two of our annual Toy Mountain campaign benefiting the Salvation Army.
The effort to give every child a Christmas and the donations continue to pour in, but the need is still great. CTV's Andrea Case joins us now. Andrea, where are you tonight?
Hi, Zoraida. Hi, Michelle. I am in Scarborough, one of three Salvation Army locations in Scarborough, and we are here with Johnny Valencia, and this is Johnny's house. So, Johnny, thanks for having us. Johnny, why is it so important that people continue to give at this time of year?
Well, thank you guys for being here. It's important to us. Listen, we, in this single location, we help about 400 or 500 families a month, and it's more, it doubles in Christmas time. And it is important that all help we can get so we can help as many families as we can in this location and all over in the GTA.
Okay, so Johnny, are you ready for Christmas?
I am ready for Christmas, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, to help you get ready for Christmas, Johnny, we've got Carly Fraser here from the Greater Toronto Area Ford Dealers. Come on in, Carly. And Carly, you're from Fraser Ford in Oshawa. How was your drive today?
It was fabulous. I'm very excited to be here.
Okay. Were you driving a Ford, Carly?
Absolutely. A beautiful Mach-E.
Okay. I don't even know what that is. What is a Mach-E?
It's a fully electric Mustang.
Wow. Okay. So, Carly, how did you raise the funds that you're going to be giving us today?
Well, I represent 23 Ford dealers in the Greater Toronto area, and this has been a cause that has been near and dear to our hearts. This is our 12th year participating, and we're thrilled to be back as one of the major sponsors. And we raise this money with the hard-earned work of everyone in our organizations, and we're very proud to be here. This is our second donation this year, and I'm very excited to present this check to you.
Okay, drum roll, please. Brrr. There we go, $15,000. Round of applause. So, folks at home, you have many ways in which you can donate. Thank you, Carly. You can go to text TOYS to 30333, and that'll be a $25 donation to Toy Mountain. You can go to toymountain.ca, and you can make a donation there. Of course, you can bring a brand new unwrapped toy to a Ford dealer or to a shopping mall, and we'll have much more coming up on Toy Mountain from the Salvation Army location in Scarborough. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Thanks, Andrea. Thank you, Toronto area Ford dealers. Well, how about this for a Monday in the schoolyard? The Raptors' own Scotty Barnes, one-on-one with kids as they get a special gift to enjoy outdoors, no matter the weather. That's still ahead.
Tonight, Pat Foran coming up on Consumer Alert. It's Cyber Monday, and some shoppers still be looking for a deal online. Retailers say they're trying to be optimistic, but some are facing supply chain problems and labor shortages, which could hurt sales. I'll have an update. That's just ahead.
Well, we reached a high of just 0 degrees today, so trending about 4 degrees below where we should be at this time of the year. Overnight tonight, not doing too badly, though. We actually have a bit of a warm-up on the way in our forecast this week. Flurries will subside later on for the GTA, a low of -2, feeling like -5 overnight, but snow will start up as we get into the morning. At this point, it's looking like 1 to 3 centimeters for the GTA, maybe a little on the lower side of that for downtown, but it's arriving right on time when you're commuting to work or school or trying to get out the door in the morning. So keep that in mind because it's very likely going to slow things down for your morning drive if you indeed have one. I'm going to show you a little bit more about how that breaks down and show you your 7-day forecast coming up. Stay with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Retailers say Black Friday was a success, and they're counting on sales to continue this evening with Cyber Monday offerings.
A survey by the Retail Council of Canada found almost half of shoppers plan to buy something on Friday, and about one-third plan to buy something today. Pat Ford has our story on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Right, and Michelle, retailers are optimistic they'll have a good shopping season despite supply chain issues and labor shortages. They're also noticing that more people are heading back to the mall to do their shopping in person.
The month leading up to the holiday season is crucial for retailers, and some are having to deal with a shortage of products.
We have supply chain challenges, we have labor challenges, and so some retailers who expected to have product on their shelves for Cyber Monday or Black Friday are still waiting on that product.
The Retail Council of Canada surveyed shoppers and found that 43% plan to shop on Black Friday, 35% on Cyber Monday, and 34% on Boxing Day. The survey also found 63% of shoppers plan to make their purchases in-store, while 37% will shop online. Retailers say many consumers want to get back to their pre-pandemic shopping habits.
So they want to return to their more normal holiday traditions, and that includes shopping in stores. We've seen that there's been increased traffic at malls.
For those searching online for Cyber Monday deals, be careful if you're sent links by email or see special offers in social media.
Fraudsters are injecting fraudulent links into our feeds. We click on them, and from that point forward, we're victims.
Tech expert Carmi Levy says don't overshare personal information, which can make it easier for hackers to find out more about you. And always take the time to check the website you're on to make sure it's legitimate.
In the browser address bar, look for that lock icon as well as HTTPS. S stands for secure. If it's just HTTP, don't click on it. Back out immediately, because that's a sign that it's not a legitimate website.
While Black Friday and Cyber Monday have become huge shopping days, the Retail Council believes because of supply chain issues this year, there will be constant sale offers up to and including Boxing Day. And the survey also found that many shoppers are concerned about being in crowded stores. They're also in a giving mood, with 80% saying they plan to buy gifts for others this year. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
I don't know if many people were ready for it, but the snow was lovely. It was nice when it came down. The kids were loving it.
To have it on a Sunday, I mean, that's perfect. But, you know, now we're into the work week. If we could just have this all melt and then get back to, you know, I mean, it's not even December yet.
And then more for the weekend.
Yeah,
and
there we go. Time it out perfectly for us, Michelle.
Well, I agree with you that it was lovely to have on the weekend, but unfortunately the next round looks like it's arriving right when we might be trying to get places in the morning, of course, possibly the kids to school or ourselves to work. So that's something that we do need to talk about. But then there is a bit of a thaw on the way after that. Weather is brought to you by Train, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. So lots to talk about in terms of forecast. And we're not looking at as much snow as we saw yesterday. Of course, that was 10 centimeters at Pearson Airport, and locally higher amounts, of course, around the GTA. Right now, we are sitting at just around, we got to 0 degrees. We're just a little bit cooler than that throughout the region, sitting at -1. Our overnight low is -2, so we're actually not doing too badly. It's not too cold. We don't have too much of a wind chill right now, and that is a good thing. And that will carry through the overnight period. We'll have winds out of the west at 10 kilometers an hour. And we do have the risk of seeing some flurries in the next little while. Then we'll get a break. Then we'll see the snowfall coming in. So it's going to be feeling like -5 at our coolest point. As we get into tomorrow, a little bit warmer. 3 degrees for our high in the city of Toronto. And really close to that throughout the region. 4 degrees in Niagara Falls, 2 in Waterloo, 3 if you're in Owen Sound. A little bit cooler for Bancroft at -2. So we have that flurry activity right now. Of course, it's been a little bit heavier off to the north through the Muskoka region. And definitely if you're in, like, say, Peterborough, the Kawarthas over towards the Belleville region, heading towards Cobourg, we're seeing that a little bit extended in the next little while. But it's sort of starting to push east of the GTA. It'll hang out further to the north longer. And then we have another system on the way, and it's going to be bringing us some snowfall as we get into the morning, as I mentioned. If you are in southwestern Ontario, as far south as, you know, between Windsor and London, this is happening a little bit earlier for you. But here in the city of Toronto, probably 5-6 o'clock is when we'll start to see things. So that next system moving in, we do warm up a little bit midweek after the system. In fact, we're already warming up for tomorrow, incrementally, versus where we were today. And I want to put your forecast radar in motion for you and show you how things play out over the next little while. So there we go as we get into the morning. By around 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, that's when we start to see, or a little bit earlier, if you're further to the west in the GTA, is when we start to see the snow. So again, this is when we're heading out. And it's 1 to 3 centimeters that's forecast for the GTA. It's not a lot. We get a bit of a break. And then another round as we get into the evening. So this isn't heavier amounts of accumulating snow, really even in southwestern Ontario in those snowbelt areas. Then, as we get into Wednesday, we have rain on the way, and that's going to stay with us through Thursday. So that snowfall tomorrow, bit of a break in the middle of the day, 3 degrees and minus 2 overnight. Wednesday, December 1st, we have some showers later in the day, 3 degrees, 7 for Thursday, and then we return to snow with a drop in temperature. Could see some icier roads on Friday, so keep that in mind. Back to you, Michelle.
Thank you. Well, Toy Mountain couldn't do what it does without a lot of volunteers.
Hundreds of them give of their time every year. CTV's Andrea Case has one of them with her now. Andrea.
Zoraida, Michelle, I'm here with Valeria Ruiz. And Valeria came to Canada when she was 3, and the Salvation Army changed your life. How did you get involved with the Salvation Army, Valeria?
So I've been involved with the Salvation Army, especially through the Toy Mountain most of the time. And it's a great volunteering opportunity, and it's really fun to give back.
So it's a lot of fun to give back. So Valeria, why should people come out and volunteer? And what do you do when you volunteer?
So, for example, in the Toy Mountain, when you volunteer, you help sort out the toys, or now with COVID, you pack the toys for the families, and it's really, really fun to get to choose, like a little baby or an older child.
So then you help put them together, and then they're presented to the family. So you benefited from the Salvation Army when you first came to Canada. How emotional was that for you to be involved?
So knowing that I received when I was younger, I was 6 or 7, when I get to volunteer, it's very emotional because it's an opportunity to give back and to be involved with the community and see how that can impact other people, okay. Especially children.
Especially children. Valeria loves the kids. And so on Wednesday, we're going to have more of Valeria's story. But just to give you a little bit of an inkling to show how great it can be if you have some time to volunteer. I know the Salvation Army, a lot of high school kids get their volunteer hours in. A lot of people who have time on their hands or want to give back, they also volunteer to the Salvation Army. So I'm going to tell you once again, folks, how you can donate to Toy Mountain, because we are trying to build a mountain of toys. You can text 30333 to toys to 30333. You can also go to toymountain.ca and you can see the list of locations where you can donate. And so, folks, what are you trying to build here? Stay with us, folks. After the break, we will have more news on CTV Toronto.
Advocates are once again drawing attention to the state of Ontario's long-term care sector.
Calling for accountability emerging from the pandemic, CTV's Mike Walker reports.
The residents were never given a chance to survive.
Doris Way's grandmother was among more than 80 residents who died from COVID-19 during an outbreak at the Tender Care Living Centre in Scarborough nearly a year ago. Way says her family is still waiting for answers and accountability.
We want to know what happened. What did they try to do to create a safe space for the residents that weren't infected?
As the province considers allocating thousands of long-term care beds, Way is joining families and advocates urging the Ford government to move away from for-profit.
There is no reason whatsoever that private equity firms and private investors should be operating Ontario's long-term care homes.
The Ontario Health Coalition sounding the alarm, releasing a report today of its findings into the 30,000 beds the province is considering allocating over the next decade. The coalition says the majority, more than 16,000, are for-profit, compared to nearly 11,000 non-profit and 2,900 public operators. The coalition says many of those for-profit operators had the highest resident infection and death rates during the pandemic and were found not to have followed protocols.
We were promised significant change, and instead of that, what we're getting actually is another 30 years 30-year licenses paid by public money to the same for-profit chain companies that have been responsible for so much of the trauma suffered by residents and their families.
The Minister of Long-Term Care has said the province would have to pay out billions to buy long-term care homes. The government believes its overhaul of the system, including improved direct care, accountability, and more inspections, will improve the situation.
We still have staff shortages right now.
Nick Popolo's 86-year-old mother survived COVID after a deadly outbreak at Woodbridge Vista in Vaughan. Worried the quality of care won't be improved, he's looking to hire a caregiver.
We're interviewing to have someone with her 3 days a week when we're not there, because she's just not getting the care she deserves.
It makes me feel like they're just turning a blind eye to the reality of what is happening.
Advocates and families believe the province can still reconsider allocating thousands of beds to nonprofit homes instead. Mike Walker, CTV News.
The fashion world is mourning the loss of one of its leading executives. Virgil Abloh has passed away following a private battle with cancer. The 41-year-old founded the Off-White label and was the menswear designer for Louis Vuitton. It is remembering Abloh as a visionary with a beautiful soul and great wisdom. He was hailed as the Karl Lagerfeld of his generation.
He was a trailblazer, breaking down barriers for those who would follow. Lee Elder passed away yesterday at the age of 87 in Escondido, California. No cause of death was given. Elder was the first black golfer to play in the Masters. This past April, he was honored at Augusta National by joining Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player for the ceremonial opening tee shots. Elder won four PGA tournaments in his career and played in all four major championships.
It was a day of big surprises for the kids at Braeburn Junior School in Etobicoke. First, they all received new coats thanks to a U.S.-based charity.
And then they got a visit from a Toronto Raptors rookie who's making a name for himself on the court. CTV Scott Lightfoot reports.
He admits he's still a big kid at heart. And today, Toronto Raptors rookie sensation Scottie Barnes stopped by Braeburn Junior School.
Just show how my big side, my goofy side, and just show love to the kids.
Barnes was just part of a big day for the kids at this school, who all got to choose a brand new winter coat.
It's my favorite part about my day.
With the help of adult volunteers from Nordstrom, the students were able to pick the coat they liked best.
Coat is warm. I like it because the color is nice, and also the size.
The coats were made and donated by Operation Warm.
We're a U.S.-based nonprofit, and our mission is to provide warmth, confidence, and hope with new winter coats that we manufacture and provide to children who need them.
It's the second year Operation Warm and Nordstrom Canada have partnered to bring new coats to kids in need. These coats will be used to further their outdoor education.
They want to be able to continue getting kids outside to experience and learn all year round. So having the right gear is essential.
New coats and the chance to make a new friend who just happens to stand 6'7" and has a shot at being the NBA's Rookie of the Year.
Trying to find a way to help kids out no matter where it is, because there's so many ways that you can help, just help them out in so many different ways.
A day many of these kids won't soon forget. Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Men's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
Achieving the highest vaccination rates possible remains the key to reducing the risk of COVID-19 transmission and significant surges in cases.
Updating our top stories, with the Omicron variant now in Ontario, the province's top doctor says vaccination remains the best way to limit the spread of COVID-19. Now Ontario is looking at speeding up the delivery of booster shots.
We're talking about a significant amount of evidence that officers have confiscated, cell phones, computers.
And a 35-year-old man is facing 138 charges in a child-luring investigation. Police allege the suspect posed as a child social media star, several stars online, in an attempt to convince kids to send him explicit images and videos.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was up 21 basis points to 78.41 U.S. American benchmark oil gained $1.80 a barrel to close at 69.95. And the TSX Composite Index gained 23 points to close at 21,149.
There is a new person in charge at Twitter. Chief Executive Officer Jack Dorsey stepped down today. The company's co-founder says he's resigning due to his confidence in the ambition and potential of Twitter's employees and because of the strength of his successor's leadership. Former Chief Technology Officer Parag Agrawal is the new boss of the social networking site. We are closely tracking the latest developments with the Omicron variant in this province.
And our coverage continues on CP24 tonight. We're now joined by Reshmi Nair and Lena Latifat. Lena, you're watching the situation closely.
That's right, Zoraida. Just this hour, we're learning four cases have been identified in Ontario. Now, all four cases identified in Ottawa. Two others are still under investigation. There is a lot we do not know about this new variant of concern, including just how transmissible it is, and perhaps the biggest question, how effective are vaccines against this new strain? There's a lot to get into. People have lots of questions, so we'll be chatting with our panel of medical experts.
And Reshmi, a new report is looking at the province's spending, particularly in the health sector.
Yes, Michelle, the Financial Accountability Office of Ontario released a report today looking at spending from April to September. The province spent $4.3 billion less than it budgeted for. Critics say this isn't the time for austerity, so we're going to hear from nurses on the crisis that they're describing and how much money could help. That's coming up on CP24 tonight.
We look forward to it. Thank you both. And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
For 26 years, CTV and the Salvation Army have been building a toy mountain. I'm Enriquez. This is Shieldy. Coming up after the break, we will have the toy total as you help us build a toy mountain.
I'm Zoraida Allman. Coming up, Ontario considering expanding COVID booster shots amid concern about the Omicron variant. Plus, the TTC pushing back its vaccination deadline for employees. Toronto's number one news tonight at 11:30.
Let's head back to Andrea Case in Toy Mountain.
Andrea, you have a new toy total.
We do. Let's bring in Glenn Van Gulik from the Salvation Army. Glenn, the folks at home want to know how many toys have been raised so far.
Oh, 21,310 toys. Thank you for your generous support. Wonderful. Really, really great. Thank you.
Okay, folks, so just a reminder one more time. You can go to your phone and text 30333 to toys. You can go to toymountain.ca and you can look to find a location to donate a brand new unwrapped toy. Folks, we need your help to
build a toy mountain.
See you tomorrow. We'll have the latest on the campaign. CTV, the Salvation Army, thanks you for your help. And we'll see you tomorrow as we help build a mountain of toys. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night. Thanks, everybody. That's great. All right, let's check in on your forecast because it's an unsettled week, Michelle.
Yeah, we do have a fair bit of precipitation this week, Michelle. We're actually sitting at 0 degrees right now. We've had those flurries move out of the area. We're not going to get too much colder than this tonight, which is probably good news, but zero was the highest that we got today, and that's trending a little bit below seasonal. So snow on the way in the early morning hours. Could see some light flurries tonight, a high of 3 degrees tomorrow. So watch out for that snow for your morning commute. It'll slow things down. -2 overnight into Wednesday, 3 degrees on Wednesday, December 1st. We'll see some showers late in the day, more rain on the way for Friday, and then a mix of rain and snow to end the week. Back to you, Michelle.
Thank you, and be sure to join us later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight begins momentarily on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.
We'll see you at 11:30.